Week 4 of the NCAAs, and CJ Stroud leads the list of the pumped up and the roughed up. We're going to get to them today as well on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I'm your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Tracy from Rogue Analytics and Locked On Chiefs. He is at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter. I am at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. And we want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And I kind of paused there for a second because I was thinking about the Chiefs and a tough loss they took today to the Indianapolis Colts. Then I was like, look, I can't even say anything about that because I covered the 49ers and then lost to the Denver Broncos in a 10-11 game. What the heck is going on in the NFL right now? Forget the NFL, though, for a second. We're going to go over to college football and talk about some of the things that are going on there. And you already know what it is, man. It is Monday's episode. We're talking about roughed up and pumped up. And we're starting with the pumped up, guys who came out, excelled, play well. A lot of the talk surrounding this is about the quarterbacks, and we're starting there with CJ Stroud. And CJ Stroud, Will Rogers, both of those guys, they lead the NCAA in passing touchdowns right now with 16. But let's talk about CJ Stroud's performance over this past weekend, right?
Yeah, like the thing that really stood out to me is what I saw was a kind of a calming down of everything, especially on the little mini boots where he threw a couple of touchdowns out of that kind of maneuver, like just looked calm, cool, and collected, maybe a little bit more so than we saw earlier in the season, picking up steam, leading it. I knew we threw the pick here, but a five-touchdown outing against a Wisconsin team that generally is going to play you tough, I think you have to take that as a big win. And for me, that actually elevates some of the questions that I had about CJ and being able to like rise to the occasion and to lead from like a poised kind of, hey, just everybody relax and follow me. Not to quote Aaron Rodgers or anything like that, but like you want to see that next step in evolution of a leader for teams that are going to look to him as a draft prospect to come in and not just throw the ball around, but to lead a franchise. And there are a lot of franchises like both of ours today that probably could have used a little bit more of that. That's always in the equation, right?
Well, I talked about CJ Stroud last week, right? And kind of leading up to this game, John Harris asked us and he said, hey, over under, and we're doing bet online odds, does he throw three or more touchdowns? And I said, dude, he's going to throw three or more touchdowns. Talking about CJ Stroud. And my reasoning for that, I said, listen, even in the performance that isn't great, and last year we watched the Ohio State Buckeyes lose to Oregon. Well, he's still threw for almost 500 yards and three tugs. So this is a guy who's going to put up stats regardless of whatever's going on around him. Whether he win or lose, that's another thing, and definitely they've won more than they've lost. But the stats are going to be there. So I said, yeah, he's definitely going to throw more for three or more touchdowns. Well, he did. So we know that about CJ Stroud. And also, I mean, the big part here that's a little underrated because I don't think Jaxon Smith-Njigba played. Did he play?
I was just going to bring that up. No, like zero targets, right? I was just double-checking that. And it was Igbuka that really led the way in the receiving side.
Right, and a spectacular catch from Marvin Harrison Jr., whose name I'm pretty sure we'll be talking a whole lot about next year. So, tremendous playmakers over at Ohio State. They blew out Wisconsin. Now, I don't think any of us were expecting that wide of a margin. You know, Wisconsin, they're going to go out there. They're going to play defense. They got Jim Leonard as their defensive coordinator. He's going to have those guys sound, but that wasn't enough for CJ Stroud. So, he's definitely a guy who right away, I mean, the numbers, stats, the blowout, Ohio State, they're clicking. That's going to be there. Talk to us a little bit about Will Rogers and what you're seeing. And again, he's one of those guys who at the top there in passing touchdowns, 16 passing touchdowns this season. And I've watched some of them. Well, I watched a lot of him against LSU. I've watched some previous games. And I see his clear strengths, timing, playing in rhythm, anticipation throws. Those are all there. And we saw some of that on some of the touchdowns that he threw this past weekend. But what are some of your thoughts on Will Rogers as one of the leaders in passing touchdowns this season?
I agree with you, especially about the processing and the decision-making, like the clarity of where he's going with the ball. It's very rare that you see him have to kind of pause and readjust. If he gets to his third read, he's generally going to deliver the ball. I know he's got a couple more interceptions on the season here than CJ does, but I think that is kind of the mix of where he does get to points where maybe he doesn't have the receiver help that CJ has in order to be able to make that decision by his third read. He's got a little bit of I see similarities every now and then with him and Sam Hartman. We'll talk about him later, just in terms of like the slighter stature and having to work a little bit more to deliver the ball with as much oomph. But I think he can throw it on a rope up to 20, 25 yards. That looks pretty good. It's not what CJ has. It's not necessarily what Bryce Young has either, or maybe a couple other guys. But I think it's functional. I think his completion percent is up over, nearly 74%. Thrown for a lot of yards. They put a lot on his back. And again, for any franchise looking to add to their quarterback room, whether it's the starter or a potential backup, like I think you have to see that he can manage the whole thing and see the big picture. And I think that's really where he's at. If he continues to have success, I can see him climbing up the boards here. And so maybe we'll be talking about more in December and January and then into the draft season than we are right now.
Well, you talked about one thing. You talk about the arm strength, and there's a big difference with the arm strength. And a lot of people think that it's kind of overvalued as it pertains to, you know, playing in college, how successful certain guys are, and then how that translates to the NFL. In the NFL, where the arm strength really makes a big difference is some of those drive throws. And I watched Jimmy Garoppolo, and there were some throws Sunday evening where he needed to drive this throw, and he just didn't quite have the arm to do it. The ball takes too long to get there. It gets batted down, or maybe an off-scripted play where he needs to drive this over route. Can't quite do it. That's not a strength of his. And the last thing you want, especially for a guy that you're taking in the first round, to have a limitation as it pertains to the offense because of a physical inability to do something. And when you look at Will Rogers, he has some passes that tend to float a little bit. You can get away with it in college. But at the next level, NFL, when all those windows are much smaller and they close much faster, it's a little harder to get away with that, all right? But we're going to continue to talk about some of these guys who are excelling on this episode of Roughed Up or Pumped Up, all right? But we definitely got to talk to you first about the good folks over at BetterHelp. All right, we've all been in situations where we might potentially need a little bit of therapy or a little bit of help. And I've been in this situation with my wife, not so much myself, but, you know, dealing with having someone that needs someone to talk to, someone who needs to work through some of the things that are going on mentally. And the one thing that when I talked to my wife about it, she said she needs somebody to talk to. And she had me. Well, not everybody has an Eric Proctor at their disposal, all right? And that's where BetterHelp definitely comes in handy. I mean, it can be tough to train your brain to stay in the problem-solving mode. And when you're faced with a challenge in life, you're going to need something like BetterHelp, all right? When you need to learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist, they can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small that they are. And if you're thinking about therapy, you need to try BetterHelp. It's a great option. It's convenient. It's accessible. It's affordable. And it's entirely online. So you don't have to go anywhere and meet with someone in person that you might not feel comfortable doing, but you can figure that out right over your tablet, your computer, whatever it is that you want to use. All right. You can get matched up with a therapist after filling out the brief survey and switch your therapist at any time. So you're not stuck with this person if you don't feel like it's a great fit for you. When you want to become a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. So what you're going to do is visit betterhelp.com/lockedon today and get 10% off of your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, betterhelp.com/lockedon. All right, Ryan, let's talk some more about some of these players who are a little pumped up. And there's a guy over there at Kansas, undefeated, 4-0. And I don't think anybody would have saw that. Matter of fact, I saw a funny, I don't want to say funny stat, because it's funny to me, but probably not funny to you. I want to say since 2010, this is the first time that Kansas has won 4 games in the season. And they started off 4-0.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about really the emotions going on at Kansas right now. Who's helping lead the way? Certain quarterback? Who's helping this team into a 4-0 start? Is it coaching? What's going on at Kansas to where kind of outlook of this institution has changed?
Yeah, it's definitely coming along. Lance Leipold got hired a year ago. Rough first go. Now, this is a school that's coming off of what? Maybe three wins, down to two seasons with zero wins in the last 15 years. Far cry from when I was there back in the day and you actually got bowl game invites and that kind of thing when bowl games mattered. It's been a long road. And so not only did the coach have to come in, he had to wait a year. He had to get a recruiting class. He had to go get a quarterback. And Jalen Daniels shows up. And now things are starting to change a lot because he can create when the play does break down. He's getting a little bit of an elevation from his pass catchers as well. But the offensive line is blocking for him. He's got the best QBR in America right now playing at KU. That is a lot to put on your plate. He talked about it post-game about changing the culture and the expectation that now we have this fans. That booth was full for the first time in a very, very, very long time. And living up to that is something that he's taking head on. That's a lot of pressure. Now, this is a guy that has some experience, but if he continues to play like this and people start whispering Heisman out of the air, which is already starting to happen, this is a player that could have the option to go to league early off of his junior year. A lot going on there. But right now, it looks like Hawks are on the upswing. Let's see if they can maintain that.
I know, and I think that's going to be the bigger question, right? Like, can they maintain it? Do you think this is something that they can maintain? And what are kind of your expectations moving forward for Kansas?
You know, it's definitely going to be a challenge, but when you're talking about the Big 12, you're not looking at historically a conference is going to play a lot of tight coverage that's going to be able to really rise on defense, right? There's an opportunity for offensive football to flourish here. And if you can use that as the seed, the nice thing about Jalen Daniels is not only can he deliver the ball with a lot of zip and accuracy, he can create in the pocket without having to break it and go on those long runs. But if that does occur, he will hurt you with his legs. He can exploit any gap that you give him. I won't say that he's in the veins of Lamar Jackson or anything like that, but when the play breaks down, you have that option to get the first down. That's going to keep the chains moving. And I think that is sustainable in this particular conference division. Bigger across the country, if you get to the point where you're talking about playing some of the big programs, maybe things break down. But for right now, looking at the schedule, I think there's a big future for him this season.
I do want to continue to kind of dive into a few guys who were pumped up before we kind of get to the next segment here. But Jaden Ott, this dude's a freshman. And I know we talk a lot about prospects who are, you know, headed to the NFL. But Jaden Ott here at Cal Berkeley, running back. And I watch him because I actually have trained, coached, and worked with a running back over there at Arizona. Cal, they play against Arizona. And Jaden Ott, he stole the show. All right, 274 rushing yards on 19 carries, three touchdowns. The guy was explosive, averaging over 14 yards per carry. He scored on his first touch of the game. And, again, not draft eligible, but a guy who, I mean, just jumped off the screen. I mean, he was terrific. There were some more guys who really kind of showed out as well at the running back position. We have Blake Corum, running back at Michigan. They handed the ball off to him. And handed it off to him again and again and again to the tune of 30 carries for 243 yards, over 8 yards per carry and two touchdowns. He busted that game wide open against Maryland. And, I mean, that was a game that was extremely close throughout the game. I thought, I don't want to butcher his name, but Tua's brother, Tagovailoa. Anyway, he played well enough to keep Maryland in the game, but ultimately it wasn't enough because Blake Corum, they just went off. So there are some guys who have some big-time performances when their team needs him. And J.J. McCarthy, I thought, as far as efficiency, he had only thrown, five incompletions heading into this week. And then all of a sudden, this game, he throws 8 incompletions. So still not anything bad. I mean, he was fairly efficient, but maybe not as much as we had seen. Still had a really good game. Close game against Maryland, they're able to pull it off because of the run game. All right, but when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about some more guys who are pumped up for sure. Or did they get roughed up? Right here, coming up next. All right, Ryan, we got Mario Cristobal. And a lot of people thought that he would come in there and change the whole direction of Miami. And maybe he will. But I do know one thing. It makes it a little bit more difficult when you lose to a team like Middle Tennessee. So some players didn't play extremely well. You got Van Dyke, Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback. People were saying, oh, he's potentially the best quarterback in this class. Or maybe not best, but top three, top four. He's a first-round pick. He got benched. So talk to us a little bit about what happened over there in Miami in their loss to Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, that's the big concern. And, you know, anytime that you're resetting a program, now this is a program with, you know, history, but Cristobal changing some of the things that you do. I thought the transition for Van Dyke was going to be a lot smoother and this was going to open him up. What we've seen years in the past, I thought that was on the table. It just hasn't clicked. And I don't know what it is, but this was the culmination of what was, I think, I had him in my top 16 preseason. That Tyler Van Dyke was a quarterback that was in the top five of the position and had a chance to make an impact. Clearly, that hasn't happened. And honestly, the pick six was probably the worst one. And that really led to the benching. And you can't argue with that. The question is going to be, A, does he get a second chance to then try to pick himself back up? Can he practice his way back into that position? I haven't seen any announcement if this is any kind of permanent change or anything like that. Van Dyke's got the tools. Can he recover enough mentally to then step his game up in a direction to get him back in the conversation, make him draft eligible in terms of the scouts' eyes? That's a big question for me now.
Well, another guy who kind of got roughed up, and not so much him, I guess, as it pertains to kind of how he's been playing. He's been doing extremely well, but Stetson Bennett, we've been kind of, I don't want to say hyping him up, but it's like, man, how good is this guy? How good can he be? And came back down to earth a little bit, right? Where we've been seeing him so far this season just throw for a ton of yards, throw for a ton of touchdowns. Well, 272 yards, not bad through the air, one interception. Not great. Now, Bulldogs were still able to score 39 points. I think the part that's being kind of roughed up, even more so than Stetson Bennett, is probably the defense. I mean, this is more points. 22 points given up to Kent.
Yeah.
That's more points than they gave up all year combined, right? So the Kent State Golden Flashes were able to score 22 points. And 13 of them at halftime, where a lot of people were kind of scratching their heads saying, man, what's going on right now with Georgia? Defense had a little bit of a lapse. Stetson Bennett came back to earth a little bit. Is there anything that people should be really worried about?
I love me a Golden Flash whenever I can get one, but I will say this too. It's just that Stetson was so hot early. Like you said, like cooling off for sure, coming back down to earth. The question is really the resiliency. Was this game enough to kickstart this Georgia team to really stomp on everything they can stomp on and really live up to their billing, especially on the defensive side of the ball? You're absolutely right there. Now, having Bowers changes some things, and maybe there's a little bit of reliance on his performance and able to be consistently performing for Bennett that really just didn't come out. I didn't see the urgency out of Bennett this weekend. He's got to change that and get back on there. I don't know that there's any permanent change, though. I'm not too worried about the overall outcome. I still see this team as a playoff team.
One more player here, and Bryce Young, his performance against the Vanderbilt. And I got a little bit of insight. You know, I work with a cornerback over at Vanderbilt, starting there. And for whatever reason, they have a freshman cornerback that they wanted to play in like the third series of the game. So he came in and they actually took my guy out. And my guy ended up coming back in. He played for the rest of the game for the most part until it really got out of hand. But Bryce Young in the Alabama offense targeted that freshman corner four times on four consecutive plays, getting all the way up the field and scoring a touchdown on him for 30-plus yard touchdown pass. What are your thoughts kind of on what happened there against Vanderbilt? Were you kind of just expecting that? Of course, oh, it's Vanderbilt, they're going to get beat. We've seen a lot of upsets. Clearly, Alabama had no intentions on being upset by Vanderbilt, a former SEC opponent.
Yeah, not at all. And kudos, like, for anybody who doesn't think that the tactical aspirations of Nick Saban trickle down to his players, attacking a young player that is clearly the least experienced on the field makes a lot of sense. It pays off when you do that. I thought it was smooth and it was efficient on Bryce Young's part, and that's exactly what he needs to do. You know, we talk about the guys that are putting up huge numbers. Bryce Young's not far behind. He's tied for fourth with 13 touchdowns thrown and only two interceptions. He's just not quite as star-tastic, right, with just over 1,000 yards at this point in the season. But I think he's a little bit lying in the weeds right now. When you play for that program and you're able to really stomp on teams with that kind of efficiency, the little details go under the radar, I think. And I think understanding who's in the ball game, being able to attack that as most efficiently as possible makes a lot of sense. And I thought that was a good sign for him, for maybe a guy that doesn't really show that killer instinct as much as some people want to see.
One tough thing for a team like Vanderbilt, they just can't get to Bryce Young. Couldn't pressure him, couldn't get to him, couldn't move him off of his spot too much. And when they did finally move him off of his spot, he just scrambled and completed plays on the move. Did an extremely good job doing that. Threw for 385 yards. Over 300 of that came in the first half and four touchdowns. So Vanderbilt completely outmatched throughout that game. And one other game I want to touch on a little bit. We talked about USC and kind of what they've been doing. They squeaked out a win against Oregon State, winning 17-14, coming down to the last minutes of this game. One guy I've been extremely impressed with, Dye. Yeah. Oh, man, he's been really good. And another solid game, 19 carries, 133 yards, touchdown. For a guy who doesn't look big, and I need to look up what his size is, because he runs extremely strong. We talked about him being a really good third down back in the sense of not just pass catching, but pass protecting as well. 5'10", 200 pounds. So not the biggest of guys, but he plays big. He plays strong. He plays stout. And so far throughout this season, he's been really good. Let's look at some of his numbers. So far, 133 yards against Oregon State. Previous game, Fresno State, 11 carries, 102 yards. Against Stanford, 14 carries, 105 yards. So for the most part, I mean, he's been tremendous and productive from that standpoint. Can he keep it going? And then can he eventually kind of get his name in the mix of some of these other guys? Because I don't remember reading off Dye's name as a potential Senior Bowl roster candidate. So can he push and be one of those guys that's mentioned? That's one thing to continue to look out for as it pertains to Dye, the running back over there at USC. They did squeak out a win, and we can continue saying fight on there. All right, but that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On NFL Draft. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Now, make your second listen to Peacock and Williamson Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. But we're going to see y'all tomorrow when we have John Harris join us again, kind of talk about some of the things that he saw over this past weekend. All right, but until then, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.